Welcome to Sonae Capital first half 2019 results conference call. During the introduction hosted by Mr. Miguel Gil Mata, Sonae Capital CEO, and Ms. Yvonne Teixeira, Sonae Capital CFO, all participants will be on a listen-only mode. After the introduction, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty in hearing the conference at any time, please press the star followed by the zero on your telephone for operator assistance. And now I will hand the conference over to Mr. Miguel Gil Mata. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome and thank you for attending Sonae Capital first half 2019 results conference call. Let me let you know that I'm here with Yvonne Teixeira, our CFO, with Nuno Barreiro, Head of Planning and Control and Investor Relations, and also Helena Almeida, also on the Investor Relations team. As I had the opportunity to stress out during our last conference call, we intend to keep this rhythm of at least twice a year making these conference calls, also on full-year results and first half of the year. I will make a brief overview, myself and Yvonne, and then we will be happy to answer any calls that you might have, any questions that you might have. Some highlights first. On first half of 2019, we believe that we managed to strengthen the growth trend that we've been having in Sonae Capital, as our EBITDA from our business units was 12.8% above last year at 4.5 million euros, especially strong second quarter with 16% growth year on year. And our continued business net profit was up 5.8 million euros, and our consolidated net results also up 8.5 million euros when compared to the same period last year. And these two lines were actually positive on the quarter at 2.3 and 2.2 million euros respectively. Free cash flow was negative in 5.3 million euros, but already accounts for 22.1 million euros of capex, as we are continuously investing in our portfolio of businesses. We distributed 11.5 million euros of dividends. I'm sorry, 18.5 million euros of dividends, and our net financial debt stood at 144.7 million euros at end of the period. We believe that we keep an adequate leverage, as our net debt to EBITDA is 2.9 times the EBITDA of our business portfolio, of our business units, and in terms of debt allocated to real estate assets, we have a loan-to-value of roughly 26%. Going through each one of our business units briefly, and starting with energy, it's a business that has had a good track record of value creation, and we keep investing heavily and showing positive results. Turnover grew again, 10.9% year-on-year, benefited from good conditions of wind and sun in terms of renewables, and also cogeneration had a very good evolution. EBITDA was, to a certain extent, hit by higher cost of CO2 licenses, slightly above 100,000 euros, but still we managed to increase EBITDA to 8.5 million euros, a 15% increase, and EBITDA in the second quarter was the highest for a couple of years. Our margins consequently reached 34%, 4.5 percentage points above the same quarter last year. CapEx was 12.7 million euros, almost all of it related to our biomass-fired cogeneration plant that we are building. This investment, as you know, very important investment for us, is going as planned, and operation will start in the beginning of next year, as expected. Just a final note on our investment in Futura Energia Inversiones. We did not close the deal yet, still pending some authorizations, but we expect to close it very soon. It's a small Spanish company that specializes in trading electricity and gas, and this acquisition is important for us in taking the most advantage of our electricity production on a post-feed-in tariff scenario, which will gradually come, and at the same time also important in terms of sourcing of gas. As to industrial engineering, as you know, we have an ongoing restructuring process, which we hope that will deliver results beginning of 2020. We are deeply restructuring the company, especially in terms of commercial approach. And we have been re-establishing a network of agents and changing the way we engage with those agents and the way we sell our, we believe, very differentiated products. Fitness is a segment that has continued its growth strategy, leveraging on new clubs, opening of new clubs, and also through a multi-segment acquisition strategy and multi-brand model. We have completed the acquisition of Urban Fit with 4 additional clubs, and at the same time opened a new pump in Seychelles. This means that we will end, have ended the semester with 35 clubs operating and are now challenging market leadership. We have 104,000 active members. It's an uprise of 23% comparing to last year. Turnover stood above 20 million euros, 13.6% above last year, and EBITDA was 11.8% with an absolute value of 6.3 million euros on first half of 2019. Probably even more important to stress the recurrent EBIT, which increased more than 40% to 1.8 million euros on the first half of the current year. In terms of hospitality, turnover in the first quarter stood at 10.4 million euros, 12% above last year, and it's important to say that we are now reporting 6 units, as we are including the contribution of Aqualuz Lagos. Of course, even if we were to exclude this contribution, we would still be on a positive trend in both turnover and EBITDA. This is, as you know, highly seasonal activity, and we expect third quarter to be very, very positive. Going now to refrigeration and HVAC, where we did manage to have a good increase in profitability, even though our turnover went down. But this is the result of a strategy of focusing on more interesting works with better margins, even if at the cost of some volume. And even though we did have a significant decrease in volumes, we managed to have a better EBITDA, both in terms of absolute values and margins, comparing to last year, and have now secured a very interesting backlog of 20.2 million euros for the second half of the year, and so we expect to deliver at least results in line with last year, probably even slightly better. Going now to Troy operations, we are very happy with the positive performance of this business unit in the first half of the year. Atlantic Ferries in particular has been showing good increase in traffic, both in travelers and vehicles, and has been one of the major drivers of the performance of this segment. Turnover stood at 4.5 million euros, which is almost 20% above last year, and EBITDA was positive, which is a very good sign. As you know, first half is much harder than the second half in this type of businesses, but we already have a positive EBITDA in first half and have very good expectations for the second half of the year. I will hand it now to Yvonne for her to give you some extra figures. Yvonne, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Miguel. Hello, everyone. Thank you for attending Sonae Capital Results conference call. I'm going to lead you through the real estate performance we had on the first quarter of the year. We are very happy with results we have reached so far, and we do believe that we are surely on the right track to finish another year with a strong real estate asset sales. In Troia, we have sold 16 residential touristic units since the beginning of the year, roughly 7 million euros of cash inflow with these disposals, and we still have 15 promissory sale and purchase agreements and reserves amounting to 8.5 million euros. Out of the 446 touristic residential units the group have developed, now we only have 71 units available for sale, which is obviously very good news. Regarding other real estate assets we still hold on portfolio, sales deed are now amounting to 5.1 million euros, and a global of promissory sale and purchase agreements totals almost 36 million euros, including the already disclosed last year sale of UNOP 3 for 20 million, Metropolis building for 6.3 million euros, and last centering allotment for 1.5 million euros. Recently, we have signed another promissory sale and purchase agreement for an asset located in the north of Portugal, Country Club da Maia, for an additional amount of 8 million euros. Now, jumping to capital structure, I would like to stress out the cash flow performance. As Miguel said, our net debt increased roughly 23 million euros in spite of 22 million euros of investment and 80 million euros dividends distribution. We have invested, as I was mentioning, 22.1 million euros mostly in the energy segment, on the investment on the biomass plant that we are developing at the moment, but also invested roughly about 3.5 million euros in fitness, greenfield operation openings and M&A operations. So our cash flow from operations has reached 6.85 million euros and cash flow from real estate sales 12 million euros roughly. We do maintain an adequate capital structure when considering the group portfolio of businesses and assets, reaching a net debt, net financial debt to EBITDA of 2.9 times, plus a loan-to-value on our real estate assets of 26.1%. Overall, we are very happy with the results and all the development group has been making and reaching so far. We have an increasingly robust portfolio management model, which relies on active management of diverse set of business that are in constant evolution, and we will continue to implement our strategy throughout 2019, creating sustainable economic and social value, so we expect. Thank you very much. Now, both myself and Miguel will be available to answer any question you might have. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A queue. This will only take a few moments. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. And once again, please press star one if you wish to ask a question and the hash key to cancel your request. And the first question comes from the line of João Pinto from GB Capital Markets. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. Four, if I may. The first one regarding WTC funds. How is the selling process going? Is there demand for the asset? Could we expect news during the second quarter of the year? My second question on the country club in Maia that you agreed to sell already in July. These 8 million euros are in line with Cushman & Wakefield valuation. The third question on Adira, you booked 1.5 million euros in sales this quarter. We are used to see quarterly sales at around 3 million, so this is nearly half. I'm just trying to understand, this seems like a step back in a unit that was supposed to start growing. Is there any seasonality in the business, or are you experiencing difficulties in your new commercial strategy? If you could update us on the evolution of the business in what to expect for the second half of the year, it would be great. And my last question on Mexico, could you please update us on your energy plans there? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, João. Let me try to answer all your questions in order. First of all, WTC funds. There is indeed interest in the asset, and we have been working hard on that. But of course, such a transaction takes quite a bit of time, and we are hoping that we could have it done by year end. But of course, we will. We have no rush in completing that transaction, and we'll not rush up the sale and sell it below our estimate price just to have the deed completed this year. We would have sell it immediately if we were to sell it for, let's say, 50 million or so, but that will never be the case. So we keep expectations to conclude the deal before the end of the year, but this is by no means a certainty. But there is indeed interest in the asset. As to Country Club de Maia, the 8 million figure that we announced is very slightly below Cushman and Wakefield valuation. Probably less than 10% below, if I recall correctly. So roughly in line with Cushman and Wakefield valuation. As for Adira sales, even though there is seasonality in the businesses, that is not the reason for this lower value, lower figure. It has to do with several aspects. One, we did register some extraordinary events from the past that represented a negative value of sales. On the one hand, and on the other hand, we have been making important changes on our commercial structure, and that sometimes means be quite disruptive and changing channels of distribution. And at this, for instance, this quarter, that meant losing some ongoing deals that we thought had to be lost to make way for another different approach to these sales. Higher margins that we are pursuing might, on a first stage, mean lower sales, but will in the end take the company to where we believe it should go, selling differentiated solutions and not pursuing volumes.
And Juan, one thing you have to understand regarding the performance of this company is mainly that first half of the year is completely influenced by the orders you booked at the second half of the previous year because of the time you take to produce a machine and deliver it to the client. So, in fact, the last semester of 2018 was not a very happy one regarding orders, but the all this transformation on commercial approach that Miguel was mentioning is already showing signs of improvement since we have registered the best quarter on orders evolution for 10 quarters in a row. So we do expect to see the effect of all this transformation on the company on the following semesters.
Finally, your last question was about Mexico and an update of our position there. We have, as you know, established permanent presence with a team in Mexico, and we are currently pursuing a handful of potential projects with the proposals already drafted and waiting decision or reaction from our potential partners. Of course, we know that this type of complex negotiations take time. Most of the decision makers are located on headquarters of multinational companies that lie outside Mexico itself. So this type of processes take some time, but our view is very, very positive in terms of what's the potential for our business model in Mexico. And the reaction to our proposals is very good.
We are still targeting one deal close this year. So, but it pretty much depends on the speed of decision on the partners that we are having there. But we are targeting some developments by the end of this year, at least on the beginning of the 2020.
As you know, we are targeting cogeneration plants there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And the next question comes from the line of Arthur Amaro from CaixaB. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. The first one is related with Troia Resort. My question is more or less this. If you keep on having this rhythm in terms of deeds, of sales, when do you think the Troia Resort will be completed by when? 2021, 2022, just have an idea from you. The second question is related with HVAC. We keep on hearing for the last year more or less and the business is currently under restructuring, under a very deep restructuring process. What can we expect from it going forward? And the last one, it's related with fitness. Now that you are apparently the player number one, do you still have M&A options ahead of you, or are you just going to pursue organic growth going forward? And that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Arthur. Regarding Troia Resort residential units, as we mentioned previously, we now hold 71 units available for sale. We do expect to having none left in 2021. Of course, it does not mean that we could not end before 2021, but our plan points to being out of stock in a 1 year, 1.5 year time frame. Regarding refrigeration and HVAC, in fact, you are right. We have done some restructuring on the company. First, we started on the cost side. Then we moved to the top line side. As Miguel told, basically, we targeting types of sales that deliver some depreciation and therefore better margin. We will keep doing that because at the end of the day, the company is an interesting one and delivers profit and cash flow, is a steady cash flow provider for the group. But I would say that if you ask us what big plan do you have for this business unit, I cannot point out any movement different from the movement we have been doing in the past 2 years. So I would say that this company probably will be subject to a portfolio movement in the short, medium term, because we are going out of ideas of how to grow the company further or grow the company abroad. So basically, we are still working with this company on two levels, the business unit level, increasing profitability on sales, and on portfolio level, to see which option do we have that crystallizes more value in the future. Last but not least, regarding fitness, we do intend to grow. We have managed so far to make some M&A operations that made sense for us, both in terms of the price that we've paid for them. We have managed to make some transaction, an Urban Fit transaction, which will be actually rebranded to Pump in the next month, but with a multiple of below 4 EBITDA. So we do not see no major chains going to the market at this moment, but we might, together with our greenfield development, acquire some minor players in the market. As you know, the market is tough, too much competition, so sometimes it is better to buy a club than to bring competition pressure on that particular market, so we do not destroy value and increase our pace of growth. So we are targeting a growth plan that is based not only on greenfield operation, but some opportunistic M&A transaction on small-scale fitness club chains.
Okay. Just a final question, if I may. Would it be available for sale, the operation, if there's an interesting bid coming?
Regarding fitness?
Yeah.
I would say that we still have a very powerful model for development so far.
And pipeline.
And pipeline. We do find here, on opposition to refrigeration and AVAC, for instance, we still have a growth plan that we are sure that will deliver strong results to our shareholders. Having said that, if we assume ourselves as an investment company that manages its portfolio, I couldn't carve out a potential operation if some interested party comes knocking on our doors with a value proposition that exceeds the ones that we think we can manage to get ourselves. So no active placement, of course, but as an investment company, we are always keen to listen to opportunities that might deliver greater shareholder return, of course.
Very clear. Thank you very much for your answer, Yvonne and Miguel.
Thank you. And the next question comes from the line of Bruno Bessa from CaixaBank BPI. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. So I will start with Troia Resorts and UNOP 3 and UNOP 4. First, if you could provide us an update on the sale process of the UNOP 3, when you expect to cash in the amount related with this disposal, and what has been preventing you from cashing in this amount so far. And also related with the UNOP 4 and also Projeto Caldeira in Troia, if you could provide us an update on the level of interest that exists on these two projects and any potential expectation for the sale of these two real estate assets will be great. Second question related with the real estate assets, excluding Troia. So you've mentioned in the Q2 release, 15.9 million euro of PPSAs, including several real estate assets to be sold, I believe, in the short term. If you could provide us any kind of visibility on your expectations regarding the timing for the disposal of these assets would also be appreciated. Third question related with the WTC fund, again, if you could provide us further visibility on how you believe the potential disposal could take place, meaning you are willing to sell the fund, the assets individually, and how could this affect the final price in the disposal? And the last one, if I may, coming back to refrigeration, I think you've mentioned that you could consider selling this activity. Any time frame for a decision regarding this? Thank you very much.
Bruno, thank you. Starting with UNOP 3, as you know, we signed the promissory purchase and sale agreement, and we are only waiting for administrative authorizations to conclude the deal. We feel that there is no real obstacle to the conclusion of the deal other than the timing that this type of decisions, which are actually not real decisions, are more of administrative processes, take from the authorities. We keep our hopes to close the deal towards the end of the year, but it might happen that it would slide to the beginning of next year. It's really not up to us. We ourselves and the buyer have made everything possible and have concluded all tasks and have done everything we needed, and we are just waiting for things to conclude. Of course, with the elections coming, even though this is not really a political decision, but responsibilities change and things take a little longer, but we still see no real risks going forward in terms of UNOP 3. As for UNOP 4, also an asset that has been raising interest, significant interest from more than one party, I should say. Again, the need to make a thorough analysis of the asset and go through complex decision processes end up by delaying the decisions, but we have been saying that we should conclude the sale during the course of 2020, and we keep that view. We keep that view indeed, on the optimistic side, actually. As for Projeto Caldeira or UNOP 1, different type of potential buyers, as you know, different characteristics of this development, but also nowadays, more recently, having a rising interest by many players. It's a big project, so there are several ways to look at it, all at once on a phased way, and we are taking all options into consideration. We believe it will take a little longer to monetize this very important asset. So probably 2021 would be a fair estimate, given all that we need to do to complete such a transaction. As for other real estate assets, I think we've been delivering on what we said previously. For instance, Country Club de Maia that we've just announced on an 8 million euro sale is an example of that. Metropolis, which, as you know, already has a promissory purchase and sale agreement, is also only waiting some authorizations. So these are all assets that will be sold over time. Now, as you know, we currently don't have any real cash flow pressure that will lead us to lower prices to get the deals done faster. So we've been betting on making the most of the prices, even if the processes take a little bit longer. This is not to say that we will delay processes forever. Of course not. We do want to take advantage of a very good momentum that we see nowadays, but we will do it with in due time, as to make sure to get the best possible deals. Which leads us to the WTC fund, which is such a case. Yes, we would be willing to sell the fund itself, which would probably be the most efficient way to complete the transaction, depending on a different set of circumstances, but the most probable way of completing the sale would be through the fund itself.
If we manage to sell the fund itself, as opposing to a sum of the parts sale, basically this could mean that you could spice a little bit up the amount, because if you sell the fund, no tax on property transfer will be due. So I really think that our way to move forward is not the fundamental one. We are able to sell either the fund itself or the sum of the parts of the assets that are within that fund. Probably we could get some better valuation on the sum of the parts perspective. I don't know if that better valuation would result in a present value higher than the tax that you could avoid upfront. So basically, would pretty much depend on the bidders that we are talking to right now. I could say that we have approaches on the two options, either the whole fund itself or specialized investors on each type of real estate assets bidding for their part. So no fundamental positioning regarding that. We will go for the option that better delivers the value that we do think the asset has. As Miguel said previously, if we were to sell the asset for 50 million euros, probably it was already sold, but we really think that we owe it to our shareholders to obtain the best value possible regarding the intrinsic value of the assets, and that's what we are working on it, trying to make the final structure that better deals with that.
It's a very big asset for the market of Porto, so we have to deal
mixed
with
use.
It, mixed use, we have to deal with it with the right amount of persistence and patience, if you will, in order to deliver best results. And that's what we are doing, but indeed there is fundamental interest for the assets. Finally,
okay, thank you very much.
Finally, concerning race, yes, we do believe that race is a company that has always been able to deliver stable cash flows, so very interesting in that regard. It's not easy for us to see an angle to actually transform its capacity to deliver better results. It's operating on a mature activity, a mature industry, with limited growth potential, apart from a fundamental transformation on the business model, which would not be our first option. It is true that we could look with interest to a partner that could maximize, have better conditions than ourselves to maximize its value. That is a decision that has no predefined timing, but that could happen if the right circumstances would arise.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. As a reminder, please, once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, please, if you wish to ask a question, press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. The next question comes from the line of Mark St. John from Piraeus. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. I wonder whether you can give us a little bit more granularity on the Capwatt Energy division. If you could remind us the capital invested in this business and looking at the Q2 figures and what you would expect on a normalized year, can you help us out to understand what proportion of the capital invested those projects are actually already generating a normative EBITDA, which ones are generating negative EBITDA, which are in a sort of a ramp-up situation? Help us to understand how this is likely to go forward over the next 3 years with the launch of your new biomass cogeneration plant and other plants. If you can help us understand the growth and the margin trend.
Yes, very well. Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you.
Let me try to give that overview. Our projects are all generating positive EBITDA, with the exception of the one that is still being built, which has, of course, no activity as yet, which is the new biomass plant in Mangualde. Our capital employed, by the way, is roughly 70 million euros today on this business unit, approximate figure. We have been delivering mostly steady EBITDA margins on those projects. Of course, EBITDA margins on these projects must be analyzed with care, as, for instance, renewable projects which have no variable cost or small amounts variable cost will always yield higher EBITDA margins than cogeneration projects, for instance, that have significant variable costs and will thus yield lower EBITDA margins. That should not be taken as a measure of, let's say, the quality or attractiveness of either of these projects. They are just different in nature. In terms of cogeneration assets, our performance has been quite strong, actually very resilient, I would say, even on face of growing costs of CO2 licenses, which affect two of our projects. We still have managed to cope with that and post increase in profitability. On the other hand, on the renewable side, you always have to account for some statistical variation in terms of the resources, sun or wind. On the long term, this will ease out, and when we look at historical performance, we have been delivering stable results and been in line with that. Main challenge, actually, is to find new projects to invest with the same profitability, which has been very good. That leads us to our new project in Mangualde, the biomass cogeneration plant, which we believe is indeed such a project. We are investing roughly 50 million euros, have a feed-in tariff of 25 years, have a, we believe, quite good natural hedging of the risks of the operation, namely the cost of the biomass, because we are selling thermal energy to our clients with a relational link to the cost of our fuel. So we believe the project will be capable of yielding good returns, that's to say internal rate of return of low double digit with very reasonable risk hedging. So we believe very interesting interesting investment and which is, by the way, in time and within budget going towards the end of construction phase, which should be concluded even before the end of this year. So very good outlook there. Mexico is also a very important part of this business unit, as we believe that market to be on a sweet spot in terms of maturity, huge industrial base with good, very, very, very reasonable or even low cost of fuel and high costs of electricity. And this is the fundamental trigger for this type of technology to work. We are transforming to one type of energy into another type of energy, fuel into electricity and usable heat. And when you have a very strong industrial base with low cost of fuel and high cost of electricity, that's where cogeneration is at its best. And that's what we find in Mexico. And since we've been there, we've been able to conclude that this was a good bet. Mark, I don't know if
Great, thank you very much.
The main challenge going forward is when these operations lose the feed-in tariff. Because that's one of the main reasons we have acquired Futura, because these projects don't really have a ramp-up period. Basically, you build them, and once you finish the construction of the plant, it starts immediately delivering a steady cash flow and EBITDA and EBIT. So it's quite a steady kind of project. The things changes when you have to go to the market, sign private PPAs to sell the energy you produce. We will have the first project entering into the market regime in 2021, if I'm correct. So we decided to acquire this company in order to prepare ourselves to be an important player in this market.
Great, thank you.
Thank you very much. And there is no further questions at the moment, so please go ahead.
Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure to have you all with us. We look forward to our next conference call, reporting full year results 2019. Thank you once again.
Thank you and bye-bye.
Thank you so much. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect. Speakers, please continue to stand by.